Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. And check out our Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. I do want to encourage you to check out our other podcasts, in particular The Amazing World of Radio at amazing.greatdetectives.net. Currently, we're presenting our spring series, The Whistler, The Lost Episodes, featuring 5 episodes of The Whistler never heard before, as well as an episode that was missing an ending till previously. And we've got a whole lot of other series and holiday specials and tributes, so much that we've done on The Amazing World of Radio. You can check it all out at amazing.greatdetectives.net. And check out all of the different podcasts that we do over at greatdetectives.net. Well, now it is time for this week's episode of Mr. Chameleon, the original air date, August 25th, 1948, and this is the case of his brother's murder.
Tonight, we again present the famous Mr. Chameleon of Central Headquarters in his most famous cases of crime and murder. Brought to you by the makers of Bayer Aspirin. For those who do not know who Mr. Chameleon is, we give a quick sketch of his character. Born of a well-to-do family and a college man, he tried from childhood to live up to the name he bore, Chameleon, by taking on the color of whatever situation in which he found himself, appearing in endless guises, finally entering the police force where he became known as Chameleon, the man of many faces, the underworld's most dreaded man. Throughout this series, the listener will invariably know who Mr. Chameleon is, no matter in which disguise he appears. But the criminal he's tracking seldom does. Tonight we give you Mr. Chameleon and the case of his brother's murderer. Our story opens at Central Headquarters in the office of Mr. Chameleon, the most feared of all detectives, whose many disguises have made his name a byword among criminals of all kinds. But now he is relaxed. It is the well-dressed man sitting across from him whose pleasant face is strained and tense.
Mr. Chameleon, I know I'm imposing on our friendship, our acquaintanceship, I should say, since we've only met twice, but I had to do something. I couldn't let things go on this way. I'm convinced that my brother Lewis is about to be murdered.
By whom, Mr. Brinton?
By Florence, his wife.
Mr. Brinton, are you serious?
Do you think for one minute I'd make a statement like that if I couldn't back it up? Have you any idea what it cost me to come here and tell you these things? I've always been fond of Florence. What has happened to her is a tragedy. But my brother Lewis comes first.
Yes, naturally. You're partners in the contracting business, aren't you? I had dinner once at your brother's home. It's a very beautiful place.
Yes, it is. I'm living there now. I have been for 6 months. And I've watched this thing develop. I've watched it grow. This...
tragedy.
Yes.
You spoke of tragedy in connection with your sister-in-law. Oh, incidentally, I've never met her. She was away when I was there, but I hear she's very lovely.
Oh, she is. I've always been deeply fond of Florence. That's why... Mr. Chameleon, she's losing her mind. For over 6 months now, she's been treated by specialists for a nervous disorder. But it's getting worse instead of better.
Oh, that's very sad.
Lewis has kept it quiet. He thinks it's something that will pass. I don't. Particularly not with Carl Robbins in the picture.
Carl Robbins, the architect?
That's the one. He's staying with them now, and Florence thinks she's in love with him. She's asked Lewis for her freedom, and Lewis won't give it to her. That's why I'm afraid. Terribly afraid of what she may do to Lewis. In the mental state she's in, she may try to murder him.
Mr. Brenton, it's the business of the police to solve a crime after it happens. But there's no reason, really, why we shouldn't try to stop one before it happens, if we can. Tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to look over the situation. Do you think you could invite me to your brother's home for dinner? Hello.
Chameleon?
Oh. Hello, Commissioner. To what do I owe the honor of this call, may I ask? Or don't you know that it's exactly 3 minutes of 6 a.m.?
Yes, I know it. Chameleon, you know Ralph Brenton, don't you?
Mm-hmm. I'm having dinner at his brother Lewis Brenton's tonight.
Oh, no, you're not. You're going up to the Brenton place immediately, but not on a social visit. Lewis Brenton is dead.
What?
Yes, he was stabbed to death with a scissors about 5 o'clock this morning.
So you see, I was too late, Mr. Chameleon, too late. If only I'd come to you a week sooner.
Mr. Brenton, you did everything you possibly could. Will you take me to your brother's room, please? I'd like to look around.
Yes, yes, of course. The housemaid, Ida Webster, found him.
I see.
The bedroom door was open, which was most unusual, and she glanced in. My brother was on the floor, dead.
Where was his wife?
Florence claimed she was walking in the garden.
At 5:30 in the morning?
She says she couldn't sleep. She got up and went out. She wanted to see the sun come up.
What about the other servants? They hear anything at all?
I'll tell you the truth, Mr. Chameleon. We're short-handed right now. Lewis was expecting a new butler tomorrow, a Britisher named Arthur Leach. The former butler quit last week.
Then no one heard any outcry?
No one at all. Carl Robbins slept through it all, so he says. And so did I.
And your sister-in-law was in the garden watching the sunrise. Mr. Brenton, what sort of a scissors was used to stab your brother?
A fairly small one. It was taken from Florence's dressing table. Oh, but here's the bedroom.
Your sister-in-law shared it with your brother?
Oh, yes.
Very strong smell of perfume.
Perfume?
Yes, don't you notice it? Very strong.
So it is. Yes, that's strange.
What's strange about it?
Oh.
I must have knocked over a bottle.
Florence.
I can't remember, but I must have. There isn't anything strange about it. Unless everything I do is strange.
Well, Florence, my dear child, I didn't know you were in here.
Of course I'm in here. It's my room, isn't it? Lewis died here, but it's still my room.
Florence, this is Mr. Chameleon, the famous detective. He's taken over the case.
How do you do, Mrs. Brenton? Very sorry about your husband.
Lewis was a good man. He loved me. He believed in me. And I must have spilled that perfume, but I can't remember. That's the terrible part. I can't remember anything.
Let's try again, Mrs. Brenton. What time did you go out?
I think it must have been about 4:45, Mr. Chameleon. I'd had a dreadful nightmare, and then I couldn't get to sleep. How did I imagine it? I mean, is it possible that when I thought I was in the garden, it was simply a continuation of my dream?
In that case, you never left this room.
No, I never left this room. No! No, that's not possible. I didn't kill Lewis. I'm sure I didn't.
Mrs. Brenton, there were no fingerprints found upon the scissors, but a pair of your gloves were rolled up tightly and thrown in a bureau drawer. Do you remember putting on those gloves?
No. Where's Ralph, my brother-in-law?
He went downstairs. Detective Sergeant Arnold wants to question him after he's finished with Carl Robbins.
That's right. Poor Carl, he's in this too. Mr. Chameleon, tell me something. Do I seem like the kind of woman who lives in a world of fantasy? The kind of woman, for instance, who imagines that a man's in love with her when he isn't at all?
No.
You're being kind. I can no longer tell the difference between reality and unreality. I can no longer trust myself.
Mrs. Brenton, I understand that you've been under treatment for nervous disorders.
Yes, I have. I even intended to go to a sanatorium. Carl Robbins thought I should go.
Why? What sort of a mental burden have you been carrying that broke you down so that you needed a doctor?
I can't tell you. If I did, you'd surely be convinced that I was mad.
Well, you're quite wrong about that. Please believe me.
Believe you, Mr. Chameleon. I don't believe anyone anymore, least of all myself.
You in love with Carl Robbins?
In love with him? No, but he... That is...
He's in love with you. Don't be afraid to say it. That doesn't mean that the man's a murderer. Let's go downstairs, Mrs. Brinton, if you don't mind. I'd like to talk to you and Mr. Robbins together.
Mr. Chameleon, you really don't believe, do you, that I'm the sort of woman who imagines men are in love with her?
Mrs. Brinton, why do you keep harping on that?
Because I... What's that?
Well, that must be Mr. Robbins and Detective Sergeant Arnold there in the library. You come along, please?
No, no, wait, please. I want to hear what they're saying.
Oh, very well. But if we must eavesdrop, let's get a little closer.
There's only one thing I want to know. All I asked you, Mr. Robbins, was why you were staying here at Lewis Brenton's house.
I've told you that. I was designing a summer home for the Brentons. I happen to be their friend as well as their architect.
Nice work, if you can get it.
What?
Mr. Robbins, there's a rumor going around that you happen to be in love with Mrs. Brenton.
That's a lie.
Carl.
I'm sorry for Mrs. Brenton. She's been unhappy, and I advised her to see a psychiatrist. But I've never been in love with her, never said I was. If anyone thinks I am, they imagine the whole thing.
Carl. Oh, no.
Mrs. Brenton.
Dave. Dave, will you get me some water, please? Mrs. Brenton has fainted.
Why did she faint? I have a feeling, my dear Dave, that that is the number one question on our list. Probably Florence Brenton fainted because Carl Robbins' words proved to her that she'd imagined that he was in love with her.
Probably, Mr. Chameleon?
Oh, we mustn't forget. Carl Robbins might be afraid to admit he's been in love with her. You see, that could be a motive for him to murder her husband.
She's wacky. She has that look in her eyes, you know.
Dave, what did the housemaid... tell you about the family relationship?
Ida? Oh, Ida had plenty to say in between trying to get me to take her to the movies.
So that's the way it was. The irresistible Detective Sergeant Arnold, eh?
Oh, listen, Mr. Chameleon, that babe Ida would go for anyone. Anyhow, she said the usual, that Mrs. Brenton was sick and the brothers, Ralph and Louis Brenton, were devoted to each other. Never a sharp word. Well, that's quite something when you consider they were business partners, too.
Yes. Dave, do you think she might go for me?
Who?
Ida.
The maid?
Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes servants know more about the inner workings of a family than the police can find out in a month of Sundays. If there were some way that I could get some real information from below stairs... Dave!
Yeah?
Ralph Brenton told me that they were expecting an English butler, Leach. Yes, that was it. Arthur Leach. Curly hair... rimless glasses, thick around the middle.
Is that the way he described him?
No, I'm describing myself, Dave.
You mean you're going to turn up there tomorrow morning impersonating Leach, the new butler? But what about the real Arthur Leach?
You can stop him. Find out where he is from the Employment Bureau. Take him to headquarters, explain the circumstances to him, and tell him that he will be compensated for anything that he loses. And meanwhile, the Brentons, whether they want to or not, are going to acquire a very unusual butler. Well, Dave, did you take care of Arthur Leach?
Yes, we headed him off about an hour ago, Mr. Chameleon. You all set? I swear I'd never know you in that getup.
Well, you better beat it now. Don't want anyone to think that I'm friendly with a common detective.
Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Arthur Leach, the new butler.
Oh, come in, Mr. Leach. We've been expecting you. Mr. Ralph said to take you right up to your room.
Might I ask just who is Mr. Ralph?
Mr. Ralph Brenton, Mr. Lewis's brother. Mr. Lewis is dead.
So I hear. I must say I find it rather odd to come into a house where a murder has been committed. Not accustomed to working for that type of person.
Me neither. I'd quit, only they won't let me go. I don't know why they don't just arrest her and get it over with.
What is your name?
I? Ida. Ida Webster.
You might as well know from the beginning, Ida, that I never discuss my employer's affairs. If Mrs. Brenton murdered her husband, that is most unfortunate, but I consider it her business and none of mine.
It was her husband's business too, wasn't it? He got killed. Mm. I could tell you plenty if I wanted to. Wouldn't you like to hear it? Wouldn't you like to have a cup of tea with me down in the kitchen?
Afraid I don't care for American tea.
Nor do I, Mr. Leach. I'll make it strong. Do you know something? I like you. I always go for men with curly hair.
I'm flattered.
Whenever I see curls like yours, I just want to run my fingers right through them.
Oh, I say.
So how about it, I? A nice little cup of tea. I could tell you things I didn't even tell the police. For instance, there's a secret closet hidden in this house, and yesterday morning I saw someone putting something there.
Really? Secret closet? Where is it?
I won't tell you. Not unless you come downstairs for a cup of tea.
Very well, Ida. In 40 minutes, say. Tell you the truth, I'd like a spot of tea, as long as it's strong, and you sit and talk to me while I drink it.
Mr. Chameleon and the case of his brother's murderer continues in just a moment. If you suffer with ordinary headaches, remember this about genuine Bayer aspirin. You needn't accept anybody's word for its quick-acting properties, for your own eyes will give you the evidence. Simply drop a Bayer aspirin tablet in a glass of water and watch how fast it acts. You'll see it start to disintegrate before it reaches the bottom of the glass, and that's what it does in your stomach. It begins to disintegrate within 2 seconds. Hence is ready to go to work almost instantly. Now, this amazing 2-second disintegrating action is one reason. A reason you can actually see why Bayer aspirin gives you relief with such astonishing speed. Keep this in mind the next time you have a headache and want fast relief. And remember, too, that Bayer aspirin also means reliable relief. You see, Bayer aspirin has been used for years without ill effect by millions of normal people. So when you buy, ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin, never by the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle, and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. And now back to Mr. Chameleon and the case of his brother's murderer. It is half an hour later, and in the Brenton drawing room, Ralph Brenton is talking to Mr. Chameleon. Not that Ralph Brenton is aware of this fact. On the contrary, he believes he is addressing the new butler named Arthur Leach, and he says apologetically,
I'm very sorry that you had to come here under such unhappy circumstances, Leach. I can't even promise that we'll be able to keep you on.
It's quite all right, Mr. Brenton, sir. I understand.
Naturally, my sister-in-law is very much upset. My brother's death, you know. Well, there's no telling what will happen.
Dreadful business, sir. Your American police aren't very quick, are they?
The American police are doing just fine, Leach. I'd back them against Scotland Yard any day of the week.
Everyone is entitled to his own opinion, sir.
Also, we have a very famous detective working on the case, a man named Chameleon. Maybe you've heard of him.
Oh, yes, yes. Chap who goes around in false face and putty noses and all that sort of thing. Rather silly.
Well, everyone is entitled to his own opinion. But Chameleon's a good man. I'm counting on him.
Yes, sir. You suppose that I could see Mrs. Brenton?
As a matter of fact, she's been looking for you, Leach. She went down to the kitchen. I think she's there now.
Very good, sir. I'm on my way down there anyhow, if you'll excuse me, sir.
By the way, shouldn't you have dark hair?
Beg your pardon?
It's funny. It was Wilfred Dodd who recommended you, and I could almost swear he said you had dark hair.
My hair is really brown, sir, and indeterminate brown, but I've been out in the sun a great deal and it's bleached it.
I see. Not that it matters. I have a hunch that you're extremely good at your job, Leach.
Thank you very much, sir.
As good at your job as a butler, let us say, Leach, as Mr. Chameleon is at his job as a detective.
So I'm as good at my job as Chameleon is at his, am I? Wonder what he means by that. All I can say is I'd better be a good butler. Devil is the kitchen. All these doors down here. And maybe this is it.
But, Carl, don't you see... Oh.
I beg your pardon. I thought this was the kitchen.
Well, it isn't the kitchen. It's the jam cellar. Who are you? What do you want?
I'm Arthur Leach, sir, the new butler, and I'm looking for Mrs. Brenton.
I'm Mrs. Brenton. I'd like to talk to you, Leach.
Oh. In that case, I'll clear out. I'll see you later, Florence.
Carl, wait. Leach, that was our friend, Mr. Robbins. He's staying here for the present.
Yes, madam.
Shall we go into the servant's sitting room? We'll be more comfortable there.
Certainly, madam. First, if you don't mind, I'd like to stop in the kitchen.
The kitchen? Why?
Which one of those doors is it?
That one there, but what do you want in the kitchen?
Your housemaid Ida is brewing some tea for me. I'd like to tell her that I'll be delayed. Ida? Ida?
Maybe she isn't there.
Kettle's on the stove. Ida?
What's the matter? Ida! Leach, she's dead!
Yes. She's dead, Miss Brenton. Been stabbed to death.
Five stab wounds, Mr. Chameleon. Whoever did it sure wanted to make a good job of it.
Poor Ida. Someone must have overheard her suggesting that I have tea with her. Tea and conversation.
Both Carl Robbins and Mrs. Brenton were down in that basement. If you ask
Leach,
me, they...
Are you coming with that coffee?
Yes, Mr. Brenton. Be right there, sir.
Not that there's any hurry, but we can all use some coffee.
So can I. Boy, I can still see that poor kid's face. And she wanted me to take her to the movies tonight.
Well, you can have your coffee later. Go to it, Dave. You have your orders.
Okay, Mr. Chameleon, but I'd rather stick with you. Someone in this house is awful handy with a knife. Are you sure you're going at this the right way?
Dave, I've had a theory for quite some time as to what lay behind Lewis Brinton's death. Now I want facts, and I intend to get them.
But, Mr. Chameleon, if
you... Dear chap, will you please get out of my way? The people are waiting in the drawing room for their coffee.
Goodbye, Mr. Leach. I'll be seeing you again.
So... Mr. Leach, you are Mr. Chameleon. But what you don't know is that I had my ear to the keyhole at just the right moment.
Sugar, Miss Brenton?
What? Oh, yes, thank you, Leach.
My dear Florence, your hand is trembling, so you'll drop that cup.
Did you say something, Ralph?
I say your hand is trembling.
So it is. How stupid. Aren't you having coffee, Carl?
I told you I wasn't. How many times must I say it?
There's no need to be rude to Florence.
Well, I'm fed up. There's a murderer on the loose in this house. I want to get out of here, but fast.
So do we all, Carl, but the police say we can't leave. As a matter of fact, I'm very much surprised that we haven't accomplished more than they have. I'm disappointed in my friend, Chameleon.
More coffee, Mr. Brenton?
Thank you, Leach. Yes, I must say I'm very much disappointed. Mr. Chameleon certainly hasn't been much help.
We haven't been much help to him either. None of us cooperated. I, least of all...
Do you mean that you lied to him?
No, Carl, I didn't lie. I didn't kill Lewis. Only maybe I did. Maybe I did.
Lawrence.
I could have killed Lewis during a mental blackout. I could have killed Ida. All right, if I did, I want to be put away where I can't harm anyone again.
You're hysterical, Florence.
Yes, I am. But at least I know now what I want to do. I want to see Mr. Chameleon. I want to tell him everything. All the things I was afraid to tell him before. Leach.
Yes, madam?
Will you please put through a phone call to the New York police? Central headquarters, I think he called it. Ask for Mr. Chameleon. Tell him to come immediately.
No, wait. I'll make that call.
No, Carl. Leach will do it.
Don't you trust me, Florence?
I don't trust anyone anymore, least of all myself. Leach, will you please make that call?
Yes, of course, madam. But first, might I be a bit presumptuous and tell you what I think of this tragedy, if I might call it that?
I think you might safely call my brother's death a tragedy, and Ida's too.
Thank you, sir. Well, my theory is this.
I'm not interested in your theory. I want to make that call.
But my theory is very interesting.
Leach, will you go and call Mr. Chameleon, or must I do it myself?
No, Florence.
Carl, let go of me.
I want to hear this theory. This is rather amazing. What is your theory, Leach?
That Mr. Brenton's murderer spilled perfume on their clothes.
What? Are you serious?
Yes, definitely, Mr. Robbins. I noticed the odor of perfume in the upper hall. I was told it came from Mrs. Brenton's room. Now, when the murder occurred, the bottle was knocked over. The clothes were drenched with perfume, but the murderer didn't have time to dispose of those clothes. They knew the closets would be searched, the whole house would be searched, so they had to hide those clothes until later things were quieter. You follow me?
Yes. Yes, we follow you.
About the maid, Ida. I'm certain that she was murdered because she intended to tell me about a closet.
A closet?
Seems, Mrs. Brenton, that there is a hidden closet in this house. Ida knew about it, and so did someone else, apparently. Ida told me that she saw someone carrying something to that closet. Don't you agree it must have been perfumed clothes? Well, don't you?
That little moron was probably on the make for you, Leach. She was trying to impress you.
Quite possible, Mr. Robbins. Nevertheless, I feel that I should report to the police, don't you? Yes. Now I'll go and make that phone call to your Mr. Chameleon.
No! No, Leach!
Stop! Stop! Don't you try to pull a knife? Very handy with knives. Launch you!
Drop it! Drop it!
Miss Brenton, you get Detective Sergeant Arnold. He's upstairs looking for that hidden closet.
But Leach! Leach! You're Mr. Chameleon.
Definitely, Miss Brenton. And this fellow can't do any more damage with that knife. All right, Ralph Brenton, the game is up. Show us that hidden closet. It'll save a lot of time. You are feeling better, Miss Brenton?
I feel awake, Mr. Chameleon. For the first time in months, I'm not groping my way through some hideous nightmare.
When did it all start?
About a year ago.
Oh, was that when your brother-in-law, Ralph Brenton, first told you that he loved you?
Yes. At first, I tried to treat it as a joke, but it got worse and worse. He wanted me to leave Lewis. And then when I told Lewis that Ralph had to go, Ralph pretended that I'd imagined the whole thing. He convinced my husband that I was losing my mind.
No, not quite, Mrs. Brenton. It didn't quite convince him. The two brothers must have quarreled about that when Lewis was killed.
I'll tell you one thing. Ralph almost convinced me I was mad. And Carl Robbins, I swear to you he said he loved me. When I heard him deny it, I was sure I'd imagined everything. Even now, Ralph insists he didn't kill Lewis. We have no proof.
I have proof that he tried to kill me, and I...
Mr. Chameleon!
Yes, Dave?
Here it is. We've got it. That closet was behind the stairway that leads to the servant quarters. And inside, we found this suit.
Miss Brenton, did you ever see this suit before?
Yes. It's Ralph's.
It smells strongly of perfume. And the trouser leg is soaked in perfume. There is your evidence, Mrs. Brenton. You didn't imagine that. And from now on, you need never doubt yourself again.
And with these words, Mr. Chameleon concludes tonight's murder case. When you seek fast relief from an ordinary headache, use quick-acting Bayer aspirin. As you can see for yourself by dropping a Bayer aspirin tablet in a glass of water, Bayer aspirin starts to dissolve or disintegrate in 2 seconds. It does the same in your stomach, and because of this amazing 2-second disintegrating action, Bayer aspirin is ready to go to work almost instantly you take it to bring you really fast relief from pain. And remember, besides quick relief, Bayer aspirin also means reliable relief. No other pain reliever can match Bayer aspirin's record of reliability, its record of use by millions of normal people without ill effect. So when you buy, always ask for it by its full name, Bayer aspirin. Never buy the name aspirin alone. Get the 100-tablet bottle, and you get Bayer aspirin tablets for less than a penny apiece. Listen next Wednesday night at the same time for Mr. Chameleon, the man of many faces, in The Case of the Bloodstained Dollar Bills. The part of Mr. Chameleon is played by Carl Swenson, with dialogue by Marie Balmer from the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. Music directed by Victor Arden. Your announcer is Howard Claney.
Now at last, you can get an utterly new, radically different, incredibly better toothpaste. It's revolutionary new Lion's toothpaste, and it's better because thousands of laboratory tests on scores of individual teeth show that it actually gets teeth brighter. 2.5 to 5.5 times brighter than any of the 5 leading brands, brighter by far than any other toothpaste. New Lion's toothpaste does this because it's a new kind of toothpaste with a formula that's completely new, radically different. A toothpaste that cleans without soap, polishes without chalk. Try it. Buy Lion's Toothpaste.
Mr. Chameleon, the new mystery drama, will be heard in another performance next Wednesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Welcome back. I kind of thought his reaction to being awakened in the night was kind of a prima donna thing. You know, like, you know, you better have a good reason for waking me up. I mean, most police superior officers are going to be like, excuse me? But I guess given his status as this store policeman, he can kind of get away with it, at least a little bit. I thought his disguise was a pretty good one. His only fault, of course, was not doing his research as to how the butler actually looked. I think he really enjoys coming up with these characters to create. But you can't do that if you're playing a real person. They've got to look how they look. Now, what the killer was doing to the wife in this story is something today we'd call gaslighting. They did not use that terminology in 1948. However, the term gaslighting comes from the 1944 movie called Gaslight, which was actually quite popular. And certainly gave quite a few writers ideas as to types of stories that could be told. And certainly it's not unreasonable to imply some inspiration from the film in the writing of this week's episode. All right, well, now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Bruce, Patreon supporter since November of 2019, currently supporting the show at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. That will do it for today. If you're enjoying this on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and mark the notification bell. We'll be back here next week with another episode of Mr. Chameleon. But coming up tomorrow, it's an episode of The Man Called X, where...
Miss Brooks! Miss Brooks!
Yes, sir?
Have you got through to Tokyo yet?
No, sir, not yet. We're still trying, but there was...
I don't care how busy they are. I've got to talk to them. Now get me some action, fast.
Yes, sir, I'll try immediately.
Suppose it had to happen someday. Ken Thurston. Yeah, all the Chief. Dirty, rotten things to... All right, Zellsprit, what do you want?
I just wanted to tell you something. Something very important about the late, dear departed Mr. Thurston.
Well?
Something I'm sure you never realized, Mr. Chief.
What's that?
I happen to be his one and only heir.
What?
Well, that's right, that's right. So many times he told me, Pagan, he told me, when I go, I wish to leave everything to you.
Now, wait a
minute.
Unfortunately,
I don't know where all his assets are. but if you would help me to locate them for a slight consideration, of course.
Zellschmidt, you're the most hypocritical, unscrupulous, iniquitous...
But
get out of my office! Yes? Hello?
You sound dyspeptic, Chief.
What the devil business did about... Ken.
Who?
That's right.
Ken. But it can't be. The report of your death. Colonel Brandt of G2.
Oh, it's a slight mix-up in identity. The dead man was wearing a raincoat I'd lent him a couple of weeks ago. My name was on the label.
Well, I'm sorry for him, whoever he was, but... Well, I'm sure glad to hear you, Ken.
Thanks, Chief.
But where the devil have you been this last week? No word from you? Then that report?
I was behind the red lines in Korea, checking on some... Oh, but that's not important now.
Oh? What is?
I want you to send Pagon out here right away with everything we've got in the files on Professor Charles Reynolds.
Professor Reynolds? The expert on atomic radiation?
That's right. You remember him.
Oh, of course. The last I heard, he was working on a defense against the A-bomb, an antidote for the deadly radiation, trying to find a way to avoid certain death from overexposure to radioactive materials.
Yeah.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to Box 13 at GreatDetectives.net. Technical comments to Andrew at GreatDetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/GreatDetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.